Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Miles O'Brien.
Good morning.
We begin this morning with more of that wide-ranging conversation I had yesterday at the Pentagon with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen. Haiti was just one part of the discussion. And a moment ago, we heard about how U.S. forces are working with the Haitian government. The Associated Press says the military has begun preparing about 100 tents at Guantanamo Bay for Haitian migrants. I asked Admiral Mullen, how important are facilities like Guantanamo Bay to transitioning the injured from Haiti?
We're aware of the medical support that is available in a place like Guantanamo. We haven't seen any large requirement for that right now. What's been the struggle initially with this is because those who have been injured so badly, many of them are crush injuries. We've seen infection set in, and many amputations have had to occur. So you just can't show up to a medical facility. If you will, it's not any kind of non-serious injury. We're really trying to focus on those major ones, but there are also significant additional medical requirements that we're trying to meet. It takes supplies, it takes distribution, and we're just not there yet. An awful lot of people working to try to get this right, and I see this as, along with food and water, as the most significant challenge.
Is the Gitmo facility available to you, however, for people to move off island?
It's an option, certainly an option that General Fraser and General Keane and USAID has as a part of this. But there are actually distribution issues. Literally, there are hospitals on Haiti that have rooms. Now, they're not located necessarily right downtown, so we think we need to work to distribute some of those patients who are in hospitals once they've received the care to move them out to some of these other areas.
All right, moving to other responsibilities. The president said, referring to the Christmas Day bombing attempt of the Northwest Airlines jet, that we are at war with Al-Qaeda. Let's be clear. I believe those were the words. Is that your understanding, Admiral?
Yeah, that it is very clear. This is a group, and I've said this over a long period of time, and it has been diminished somewhat in the last couple of years, but this is a group that's still trying to kill Americans. They're still trying to kill Westerners. The December 25th incident in Detroit is an example of that. The Headley arrest, the Zazi arrest, the five Americans who were recently picked up in Pakistan, all of that is very much associated with an overall strategic direction to still try to generate catastrophic attacks, killing innocent people, killing innocent Americans, as many as they can. And so in that regard, you bet we're at war with them.
That's Admiral Michael Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in a conversation yesterday at the Pentagon. We went on to discuss the Pakistan-Afghan border in the context of this new surge that President Obama has ordered. And if he saw a situation there, the admiral did, where we might send in either drones or infantry across the Pakistani border.
I don't see any circumstances at this point where we're going to have any ground troops that would cross that border. I mean, that's just not part of it. I don't see it. It hasn't changed as a result of this strategy. The question about Afghanistan and Pakistan, what I have learned over the last two-plus years, having been heavily engaged in this, is it's not one country or another. They're two sovereign countries. Obviously, they border each other, and they're inextricably linked in many, many ways, in particular at that border. And that's where we believe Al-Qaeda leadership resides. That's where the Afghan Taliban have a safe haven, and they use that safe haven to come into Afghanistan to kill Afghan citizens, to kill Afghan security forces, and to kill Americans. And so we're very focused on that and that border. That border is one that I believe is the epicenter of terrorism.
In terms of the rules of engagement with our relationship with Pakistan, help me to understand how a Pakistan military officer might be involved in drone surveillance on Pakistani territory. Would they initiate? Would they provide intelligence? Would they provide suggestions or targets? Or is it completely a U.S.-initiated operation?
Well, I don't talk about these operations in any kind of detail at all. Where we are in terms of what we're doing with the Pakistani military, and we've been doing it for some time, is we have provided training and support for their operations. I was there in December. I went up and spent the entire day in SWAT. And a year ago, there were many who had predicted SWAT would never return to what it was because the insurgents had basically taken it over. Well, the PAC mill went in there, and they basically have turned it around, gotten rid of the insurgents. They achieved something many people predicted that they couldn't achieve, as an example. So, and we have worked to support them in terms of training, and I've been to the training center where we've done that, and it's really been exquisite training. They've worked hard, they've learned well, and they've had a big impact.
Finally, in the White House Situation Room that I happened to pass through yesterday, I noticed there were a number of digital clocks that sort of monitor places around the world that are obviously of interest. Of course, there was Washington, there was Kabul, there was Port-au-Prince. But I noticed that there was Sana'a, capital of Yemen. Is that an indication that surveillance on the part of the White House and security operations and perhaps the Pentagon, surveillance in Yemen is as important as the relief operation in Port-au-Prince right now or the operation in Kabul, that it has a similar priority?
Well, right now we're very focused on Haiti, and it really is at the top of the list. But we don't do that and ignore the other challenges. And I have been concerned for a significant period of time about the growing potential and now what I see in execution of a new safe haven for al-Qaeda leadership in Yemen. And it's clearly there. And it goes to Fort Hood and the Alaqui, who is the imam, who is actually an American citizen, spent a lot of time here, who is at the center of fostering not just Hassan, but a lot of other activities, as an example. And he resides in Yemen. And there are others. And so we've got an increased level of focus on Yemen. We've increased our support to the Yemen security forces. I don't just mean recently. We've actually done that over the last couple of years. We expect it to grow significantly over the next year and for the same reason, to enable them to get at this very serious threat, not just to us, but also to the people of Yemen and the government of Yemen. It is in certainly our list of top priorities that we're spending a lot of time on.
That was Admiral Michael Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, speaking with me at the Pentagon yesterday. You can see some of that interview in video on our new website, thetakeaway.org, and we'll air the rest of our wide-ranging interview tomorrow on The Takeaway.